Race.
Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for September 14th, 2018. And I had a little delay in my headset there. I wasn't hearing myself, so I had to drag that one out a little bit. But I am so happy to be back with you today. Missing shows here and there, and I hate missing those. But we are back today, and we've got some great guests for you today. The two of the three principals, and we're going to try and have the third principal in. Coming up in the next few weeks, but two of the three principals, Jamie Wright is here, and also Chris Carminke is also here. He's the new principal at the high school. Jamie was the principal at the high school. She's moved over to the elementary school, so we're going to talk to both of them today. And so we're really happy and excited to get to that. But before we do that, let's take a look around Rogue River and see what's been going on. And not just Rogue River, but things that affect Rogue River. And of course, this whole summer and heading into the fall, the big thing we've been talking about has been, of course, all of the fires and how they've affected travel around the valley, how they've affected the air quality. In fact, all of the sports teams have been affected in one way or another by the poor air quality, missing practices, having to practice indoors, missing games. It's been a tough start of the year for Chieftain Sports, but the seasons have gotten up and going, and we're going to get to that in just a minute here. But you know, the source of that smoke, of course, is these fires, and probably the most notable one. It keeps changing. I think last time we were on the air, the biggest fire that was affecting us the most was the Klondike Fire. And the Klondike Fire is now 64% contained. As we mentioned on the last broadcast, it is considered a mega fire. It's over 100,000 acres. It's now over 138,000 acres. But not the primary concern at this point. And again, it keeps shifting from as they start to get things under control. But the one that really affected us most recently was the Delta Fire. And that one is down near Dunsmuir. And it had Interstate 5 had been closed for several days due to the Delta Fire. This week, they finally got it reopened. It started out only being opened one lane each direction, but I believe it's open all the way now, although there was another fire, I believe, yesterday, and I don't have the details on that, but it had closed it again temporarily, but I believe they've opened it back up again from that fire. But the Delta Fire is now over 60,000 acres, so it's getting close to becoming one of the mega fires as well, and it's only 28% contained. It was human caused, and I don't have any details on exactly what they think caused that fire, but again, most of these most recent fires have been human caused because we haven't had any storms. The initial fires around the area were all from a set of lightning storms that had gone through, but the more recent fires have been man-caused, and the Delta Fire was man-caused, but I don't have all the details on that. But that, again, that's affected us here because I-5 was closed for several days. It is reopened, but we'll keep an eye on that. That's really the only news of local importance to report. So let's take a look at Chieftain Sports. First, we'll take a look at the volleyball team. The volleyball team had a match on Thursday, And they lost 3-1 to Lost River. They had won the first set 25-16, but then lost 3 straight sets. They will travel to Lost River for their next contest. That will be on Thursday. And again, that will be at Lost River for the volleyball team. And they currently are holding down a 1-5 overall record. So let's move over to boys soccer. The boys lost on Wednesday, final of 2-1 versus Cascade Christian. They were down 2-0, came back, had a couple of chances to tie it up, couldn't quite get that done, but they did get the one goal and lost 2-1. They are now 2-1 overall with a 1-1 league record. And they will head to South Umpqua High School on Saturday, and they will be playing against Canyonville Academy, and that will be at 1 o'clock, again, at South Umpqua High School. And let's move over to girls soccer. Girls soccer picked up their first win of the season on Thursday, a dominating 7-0 win over Glide, and they will... Next up for them will be Saturday as well. That game will be at noon at Coquille Myrtle Point. I believe that is played at Coquille High School, but it's a combined team of Coquille and Myrtle Point. Moving over to cross country, they had a meet last Saturday. That was the Chieftain Booster Invitational over at Valley of the Rogue. And the Chieftains, with only three people on the team currently for cross country, two varsity boys runners, Cameron Smith and Jonah Maris. Of course, Cameron, the Rogue Talk mascot, competing once again at cross country. Cameron finished 11th overall, and Jonah finished 20th overall. That was out of about 44 contestants at the varsity level. So pretty good day for the Chieftains. And they finished ahead of most of their 2A competition. So a good job there by the Chieftains. And on the JV girls side, the only other runner for Rogue River, Samantha Peterson, was 8th in the JV girls race. And next up for the Chieftain cross country team will be the Prefontaine Memorial 5K run. That will be Saturday in Coos Bay. I believe the men take off at 9:45. They're leaving the school, I believe, at 6 a.m. and heading over to Coos Bay. And so they will have that on Saturday. And finally, Chieftain football. In a game that was changed, was originally scheduled for tonight at 7, has been moved to tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Chieftain Stadium. And the number 17 in the 2A, Rogue River Chieftains, will be hosting the number 7 team in the 3A, Brookings Harbor. Now, Brookings lost their last game 35-0. That was against Del Norte, California. And the Chieftains won their last game, a game you heard right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Final score was 42-18, but it was a much closer game than that score would tell you. It was tied at 18 with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. The previous to that, when it was 18-12 in favor of Culver, they were feeling pretty good, but the ensuing kickoff after that score that gave them the lead was run back for a touchdown by Diego Augusto, and that tied the score back up at 18. And then the Chieftains proceeded to score another score and got the first conversion of the game, a 2-point conversion. Neither team had converted for any of their previous scores. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. The Chieftains rolled from there. 3 turnovers in the last 3 minutes for Culver was kind of their undoing. And the Chieftains won 42-18. That was their first 11-man game of the year. They had won previously in an 8-man contest, a game that was played at home the opening week of the season. So the 2-0 Chieftains taking on Brookings Harbor Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We will be on the air here on 94.3 The Bridge approximately 10 minutes before kickoff, so about 6:50 for our broadcast tomorrow. And that's going to do it for Chieftain Sports. And I really want to get to my guests here, so we're going to take a break and come back with Chris Karminke and Jamie Wright. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. South Carolina's most popular tourist destination is riding out Tropical Storm Florence without many major problems so far. In North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, rain has been falling nearly all day, and tree branches are limbs and are on some roads. Paul Manafort's lawyer says the former Trump campaign chairman cut a deal with prosecutors, quote, to make sure that his family was able to remain safe and live a good life, unquote. Kevin Downing says Manafort of Alexandria, Virginia, has accepted responsibility. Manafort agreed to cooperate with the special counsel's Russia probe and pleaded guilty to two federal crimes as part of Friday's plea deal. On Wall Street, the Dow by 8 points to 26,154. The NASDAQ dropped 4. The S&P up by 1. Oil up 40 cents to $68.99 a barrel. More details available at srnnews.com.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with Major League Baseball. A Dodger newcomer and a former Cardinal lead L.A. to a win at St. Louis.
Manny Machado homers and drives in three, and David Freese adds a pair of RBIs in the Dodgers' 9-7 win over the Cardinals. Clayton Kershaw wins his fifth straight decision to improve his record to 8-5, and he was asked about playing meaningful games in September.
I don't think we've really been in like this much of a fight to win the pennant in a long time, as long as I can remember. So, yeah, I mean, it's been that way for the last, you know, month or so now that, you know, there's three teams atop of our division as well as a wild card race that it's all neck and neck. So it's a fun time for us.
The victory keeps Los Angeles a game and a half behind first place Colorado in the NL West. They're one game behind the Cardinals in the race for the National League's second wild card spot. Mike Reeves, St. Louis.
Elsewhere in the National League yesterday, the Mets got by Miami 4-3. This is SRN Sports. More National League scores, Colorado 10, Arizona 3. The Cubs edged the Nationals 4-3 in 10 innings, and the Mets got the better of Miami 5-2 in the second half of that doubleheader. In the American League yesterday, Orioles 5, A's 3, Boston over Toronto 4-3, Kansas City 6, Minnesota 4, and Seattle beat the Angels 8-2. NFL Thursday Night Football, A.J. Green and the Cincinnati Bengals 2-0. After beating a division rival, Green grabbed three touchdown passes in the first half while the Bengals were building an early 21-point lead in a 34-23 victory over the visiting Baltimore Ravens. He set the tone with scoring receptions of 428 and 7 yards on consecutive possessions. In other NFL news, the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't saying much about the status of quarterback Ben Roethlisberger for Sunday's home opener against the Chiefs. He skipped practice for a second straight day due to an issue with his right elbow. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio, the two principals in the Rogue River School District, Jamie Wright and Chris Karminke. Welcome to Rogue Talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you guys in here. Jamie's been here before, and we're going to touch on some of the things that Jamie and I have talked about. But Chris, this is the first time we've gotten you here, and it's a good thing that there's still a few phone booths left in the world, because Chris is ready to rip out of his principal garb and become super chieftain or super fan. I guess that would make you the unofficial leader of the super fans, which may make my son a little upset because he thinks he's the leader.
we can keep him thinking that.
There we go. We'll let him keep thinking that. So, well, thanks for coming in. And I, you know, we get to the start of the school year and everything starts rolling and the sports are already going. They've been going since August. And but I really wanted to get both of you in here to talk about all the great things that are going on in the Rogue River schools. And of course, last year, Jamie, you were the principal at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, and Chris was the vice principal. And that's now correct. you're both principals. Jamie, you moved over to the elementary school, and Chris, you stepped up and became the principal at the high school. So let me start with Jamie. What's the difference between being the principal at the high school and being the principal at the elementary school? It's got to be a pretty stark contrast there.
I think, I don't know if I'm on or not. Am I on, Jeff? I'm not hearing myself.
Oh. Oh, thanks.
Oh, you know what? I apologize. We didn't hear Jamie during that introduction because the board operator, otherwise known as the host, forgot to push one of the buttons. So I apologize, Jamie.
That's okay.
So let's try this again. So what are the differences between the two principal jobs here in the district?
I think there's actually quite a few similarities, and both are really awesome. And I enjoyed being at the high school. I enjoyed working with Chris. We had a ton of fun. And a lot of really cool things at the high school that I actually think about often, even though I'm down with the little kids. But I think at the elementary school, what has been really amazing for me is I've seen the end product, and I can help. I see where they want to go. I see graduation. I see walking across that stage, and I have the opportunity to help the teachers understand what it takes for them to get there. And we're going with a superhero theme as well. And I didn't wear my awesome Rogue River awesomeness shirt like Chris, but we have four villains that keep kids from walking across the stage. And usually it's attendance, it's behavior, it's organization, which is pretty crazy, and then it's lack of hope and motivation. And I think if I can spark that at the elementary level and encourage teachers to help fight those as superheroes, because it's a pretty tough and rewarding job as a teacher, I think that I'm going to help at the high school even though I'm not there. So that's been really awesome.
Yeah, and I like that superhero theme. You know, I think of some of the things on social media like Bat Dad and kind of how cool those things are. And so for especially now, this is kind of a district-wide thing, but especially at the elementary school level, it's got to be kind of a fun thing to think of it that way, because the kids, you know, who doesn't like a superhero?
Yeah,
I mean,
and who's already got their Halloween costume picked out?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
All the teachers were going to be superheroes and me. So that's a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move over to Chris then. So Chris stepped up to become the principal. What's the difference between the two jobs? Because I know when I was in school, the vice principal was kind of the disciplinarian. The principal didn't really deal with that kind of stuff. And is it the same where you're at, or what are the differences between the two jobs?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I came in last year. I'd had some principal experience, so I was really trying to keep my principal hat going, but I knew that my role was to obviously support Jamie as the principal primary. And so that's really what it is to make sure that the principal can do what they want to do. And so if that means putting up a roadblock between themselves and the principal, then that's kind of what it is. So that's kind of what I did. And there is a lot of discipline that goes into that with students, but there's other things that come down too. It's also that first line of defense for angry parents and things like that. So yeah.
And
sometimes,
creating creative programs. I think that's one thing that Chris was really good at, was creating preventative programs to help kids from getting into discipline issues. And that's why I enjoyed working with him so much. He was a very proactive thinker on, instead of just dealing out discipline, like how do we keep them from getting in trouble?
Yeah, exactly. So the good news is, principal, I get to keep doing that, but it seems like a natural fit and a natural transition. But I do have someone to help me with some of the dirty jobs of cleaning up some of the villainy that's happening on campus.
And that's just with the teachers. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry.
And that's very true. One of the big goals for our school this year is to reduce the disruption to the learning environment. And that is not just from the students. There are so many other things that can disrupt what's happening, and us doing discipline sometimes is that case. So we're really cognizant of, is this going to get in the way of the teachers doing what they need to do? So we're making a big effort this year.
Yeah, and even outside forces can disrupt the learning in the classroom. I know recently, and this is something I'm very familiar with, for people, regular listeners know what I do for a living, and it's not radio, shattering a window by a errant rock off of a weed eater. Even that can disrupt the kids. So now we don't have the new vice principal here with us today, but who is our new vice principal, and how do they differ from maybe how you approach the job, and how are you two working together?
Good question. So our new vice principal is Tori Kirkpatrick, and she came to us from Nestucca School District. It's a pretty small school district, smaller than Rogue River School District, between two bigger districts, kind of like us, but they're between Lincoln City and Tillamook School Districts. So she comes from a district that didn't have a vice principal, and so when the principal was gone, because he was a baseball coach, and principals are busy and sometimes have outside appointments, she was kind of delegated to do that role. So she's very familiar with taking care of some of the business that needs to happen. For us, it's been really fun just to get to know each other. She is super funny. And one of the things that we did, and I always prided myself on being super funny, but I'm feeling kind of out of my league, sort of. But she does have 25 years middle school teaching experience, which you've got to become pretty witty if you've got that.
I would imagine.
Or you're just beat down. So anyway, she came, and we decided, one of the things we did last year was we had some PowerPoint presentations that we gave to all of the students to tell them our expectations, and then we relied on each teacher to deliver them during a certain time of the day. And we decided to kind of do away with that, because the first presentation was good, and then they slowly declined from there to very horrible at the very end, and the kids weren't paying attention anymore. So we had a class meeting, which saved a lot of time. So we just met with each grade level and talked about our expectations and some of the benefits of their grade level. And boy, she was so funny about talking about dress code and not getting into fights and everything. I was cracking up. So it was a really good tone to start the year off. So I think we're clicking, and she's got a lot of potential. She's new to administration, but she the learning curve is steep, and she's very busy, but she is managing it super good and has the energy.
Well, that's great. And my first, and I haven't gotten to meet her yet, but some of the first feedback that I'm getting from some of my other contacts within the school is that she seems to be pretty no-nonsense, which I think as a vice principal is a pretty good place to be. So you kind of combine no-nonsense with a good humor and wit. That's a pretty good combination, I think, for a vice principal. So I look forward to her having, you know, continued success. It sounds like a good fit. So, Jamie, when you were in here the last time, we've talked about some of the programs and some of the direction, the 10-year plans and things, and obviously some of that shifted with you shifting schools, but a lot of it has stayed the same because you guys kind of work together on some of this. Talk about some of the things that, I mean, I would call exciting as educators. You obviously think that these are exciting things that is going on maybe at the elementary school, but also maybe between the two schools.
I think to start off with, I think we're finding ways to get more support from community resources in our schools. When we went through accreditation 3 years ago, one of the things that they urged us to do is seek out more resources for kids in mental health, medical health, and find ways for kids to meet those basic needs that you can't really learn if you're feeling unsafe and you aren't well fed and you don't have your basic needs met. So since then, we now have access to a counselor through Options for mental health that's going district wide in addition to individual counseling. They haven't started yet, but that is an option that we have for this year. We are both now partnering with Resolve. I was able to get a grant from All Care to begin work at the elementary school level with training and sending teachers away for training in the sub days that are needed for that. So that's going to help district-wide conflict resolution, problem solving with various conflicts with kids and adults, because sometimes conflicts just aren't between kids. It's the interaction between the educator and the student. So those are a few that I'm thinking of off the top of my head of community resources that have come in addition to continuing to have the Gear Up program, which has been amazing for the high school and the junior high. And I'll let Chris talk about that.
Yeah, let's swing over to that, because you and I talked about the Gear Up program, and specifically we talked about the upcoming business venture, if you want to call it that, of the kids having a coffee bean roasting set up and selling those beans to a local shop and that kind of thing. So it sounds like that we've made a few more steps in that direction since the last time we talked about this. So Chris, let us know where do things stand with the coffee roasting?
Yeah, so we're moving forward quickly. The next step is obviously getting the right machinery and equipment to do the coffee roasting, as well as having the platform to make it happen. So with Gear Up, that's been a 7-year grant, and we're just embarking on our fifth year. So we're starting to see that there's going to be an end to this great resource that has been supporting us and our students and providing them a lot more forward thinking to college and life just beyond school. So one of the things that Gear Up is asking us to do is to find a way to maintain and be sustainable with the programs we develop through Gear Up. And so we needed to create a business. And so Jamie has a love of coffee and great coffee.
Well, let's be specific. Jamie's husband has a big love of coffee. And I still haven't gotten my sample beans.
I know.
So we may just turn Jamie's microphone back off for the rest of the interview because she owes me some beans.
Yep. So, and I happen to be kind of a coffee fan too, not at the Uber level over there in the Wright household, but I have lived in some rural parts of Oregon where I bemoaned the quality of beans that were coming my way. So coming here to Southern Oregon has definitely been an improvement in coffee land. And so the opportunity to get some equipment and learn how to roast coffee beans is really intriguing to me. And I can see how it can dovetail into academics with, you know, math and science and literacy and marketing and everything else that is academic. But it also is going to provide, you know, some funds and revenue, and it's going to give kids some skills that are really not very typically found. Mm-hmm. Our students that are going on to college and into the career world, not many of them are going, oh, I'm going to go to coffee roasting school. And yet, so many of us depend upon coffee every day just to make our day go the way we like it to go. So it's going to be a neat little niche for our students to gain some practical skills and just an understanding of where coffee comes from. So maybe they'll have more appreciation for quality coffee and they'll spread the word. And so we're hoping to be able to sell those coffee beans to, you know, to maybe in sort of like a CSA, the agriculture program. So certain folks will get their freshly roasted batches every week or two, depending on their consumption level. And it will be available at the high school for pickup, or, you know, if possible, we can do some delivery to different areas. So it's going to be, it's really exciting, and it should allow our amazing Gear Up opportunities to be sustainable into the future, as long as people like coffee. I don't have stock in Starbucks, but I'm assuming that is not going to change drastically anytime soon.
No, probably not. But let's make sure that the roast quality is somewhere between Dutch Bros and Starbucks. Starbucks, a little too burnt for me, although I still drink it. Don't get me wrong. I'll drink just about anything. But
well, and some people would consider, like, both of those are very famous. But I think there's even another level that I think we can probably create. And there's lots of connections with roasters who are currently are very successful in the Portland area that will probably help us build an amazing roasting program. Whatever your you prefer, whether you like it tasting burnt or or if you like the light roast where you can taste the fruit and the chocolates.
Yeah, so, well, and absolutely
roasting.
Well, and you know, and cold brew has become much more popular, and I would love a bean that suits itself to that. I've started trying that out, and I'm still looking for the right bean that really suits my taste. But I'm, you know, it's one batch at a time, so
I got to get you some coffee. Sorry.
That's okay. I just need to be friends with your husband and just push you to the side because you're just not very reliable.
I know. Because I don't roast it, so I feel bad when I give it away, but I do give it away.
Pay for it even. I mean, okay. It's interesting you say that, though, because I've been kind of interested in the different types of coffee. And one of the things that intrigues me and I'm going to try is the coffees that don't have to be washed because they're grown in a climate that you don't have to, that doesn't have to be done. And I don't know what the difference is, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to try it out. So, well, we don't want to spend too much time on the roasting thing, but it's one that I'm interested in. I love coffee. So do we have the roaster now?
We don't have it. It's the invoice. They're sending us an invoice, and then we'll get the PO, and the roaster should be coming in sometime this school year. But there has to be training to go with how to set it up, all of the technical equipment that goes with that. So hopefully by the end of the school year, they'll be experimenting with the roast and how to do it.
Now, do we have some kind of a community partner that is kind of overseeing that part of it, the training part, or who's going to provide the knowledge base for that?
So it's a San Franciscan roaster, which with the purchase of a roaster, they give you training on how to run that roaster. Justin and I and Charlie Grenade met with the Love Abounds Foundation for Dutch Brothers, and there's some really great guys that were like just... It was more like, when you get it set up, give us a call.
So
those guys would be a great resource that we're going to pursue once the roaster gets a home, like on his campus. I think that's also one of the challenges. We're just figuring out where it's going to be safe to set it up. It actually is one that's not going to need a ton of technical equipment to keep it from blowing anything up or needing to scrub the smoke that comes out of it. It's small enough that it's going to be a great kid-friendly roaster to create something that can do really good work, but not have, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, Dutch Brothers roaster takes up about 50 by 100 warehouse.
Wow.
This is going to be like the size of your desk, Jeff, which for those of you that are listening is not very big.
Yeah. No, not a whole lot of room here. Enough room for the three of us, and that's about it.
Yeah. So one of the things that is going to be difficult for me, although one of my primary roles as a principal is to delegate, is trying to find who's going to be the right fit on our staff to go to the training and learn how to do it. See, I don't want to delegate it because I'd like to be that staff member and get that trip to Vegas to learn how to roast, but I also need to realize that it would be best if one of our staff members is the one attending. So.
Well, when you get that set up, I think a trip like that requires media coverage. So just let me know because in fact, I can give you a few suggestions of which teacher I'd like to go along with.
Okay.
But you know, we'll do that off the air. I don't want to sell anybody out here. But it won't be you, Miss Gibson, because we're still feuding. I got myself in a little trouble right here on this show, and she still hasn't forgiven me, and when you hear her voice on this show, you'll know she's finally forgiven me. So, in fact, if you need room for the roaster, you know, you can move her desk out if you have to. It's fine. It'd be great.
Got it.
Actually, don't do that because she's back to being Cameron's teacher again, so she's kind of important right now. Yeah. So yeah, let's not mess with that.
As a senior, it's kind of, you know, graduation requirement and all that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You touched upon Mrs. Gibson, and I just, when we get to talk about schools and stuff, for me, it's so important that we recognize the quality of the educators we have in our schools. And I've been around, unfortunately, my resume shows that I've traveled a fair bit to different schools and districts of various sizes. But the magical thing about our school, and I get to tell all our students this, and I can't tell them enough, is the quality of the educators we have. They're intelligent, they're hardworking, they are very caring people, and they gel together. It's a magical formula, and that is our superpower, is we just have an amazing staff. So since I've been given the microphone,
you know, and that's a great transition. I'm happy to go that direction.
Well, and I want to add on to that, because I think when I was hovering up above at the high school, I don't think I knew the elementary school staff very well. And as I've been working with them, I second that notion for Chris, with Chris, that the teachers care so much about the kids and this community. And they have woken up in this amazing, positive sunshine light. And I've enjoyed so much working with them. And I think that our community is so has been given a gift for the educators that we have in our two buildings.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've been kind of away from the elementary school a bit. I'm starting to get reintroduced. My first granddaughter will be a year old tomorrow, but by gaining that granddaughter, I also gained another granddaughter, and she's in first grade now, and so I'm starting to kind of get reintroduced to the elementary school and who the teachers there are, and I would support what you're saying wholeheartedly. There, we have a great staff of teachers at both schools, and that includes Miss Gibson. she would never believe this, but anyone that I come in contact with, if her name comes up, I have nothing but praise for her, and she won't believe that, but that's the truth, and I'll stand behind that 100%. So we talked about some of the programs that you know, like Gear Up, for instance, and of course Gear Up is a lot more than just this coffee roasting. In fact, my daughter was part of Gear Up last year. This year she's moved over to work for College Dreams. So let's talk about some of the other programs that are helping contribute to the overall success of. So let's start with that one, since I know that one. What is College Dreams providing for the I guess it's mostly the high school that is helping us with the advancement of these students? Because I know, you know, my intern sitting here to my left, Hunter, and he'll probably be on the show at the end of the show today if we save enough time for him. He's here because of the College Dreams program, and so tell us what they're doing in the school.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. For one thing, we do get your daughter Katarina Smith quite a bit more than we had her last year. She's more of almost a full-time employee for us. She just doesn't work on Fridays, and she's still working with College Dreams at Grants Pass. So she's getting to maintain working with Gear Up, but she's also embarking on College Dreams, which is seeking out some students that have a lot of potential to attend college, creating a cohort of those students, and then working with them through interviews and guidance and mentorships to help them get on that path towards school beyond high school. And so creating that cohort and seeking out those students that really fit into go into college beyond high school, and giving them that support is just magical. Because for me, I was more than fortunate that by the time I entered first grade, college was already an option. I had grandparents putting money into accounts. It was almost destiny that I was going to college unless I really messed things up. But that is not the case for so many students that attend school. And so this is helping bridge that gap, you know, filling in for those families that don't have the grandparents and the financial support and the wherewithal to know how college works and the kind of game that it takes to get into college and be successful there. So this is just another great partnership that we have to support our students.
And I think also navigating that process, like, it isn't easy. And unless you have had experience with it or someone to guide you through it, it's a difficult process. There's lots of things. So, and College Dreams is helping kids go to it, but also coming out with less loans, which coming from a different background, I'm probably will be 60 by the time I pay off all my college loans. And I think that having them believe that you can do it and not go into excessive debt, because you have someone playing the game for you and helping you play the game.
Yeah, and not to toot my daughter's horn for her, and I do want to mention Deb Acosta also, mm-hmm. has a big part of the College and Career Center, and she is a big part of what we're talking about here, so I don't want to leave her out. We can't name everybody, but I don't want to exclude anybody either. But that's one of the things Katarina brings to the table is when she was in middle school, and she doesn't remember this conversation, but I do. and she was a very good student, and she was talking about college, and I was very blunt with her and said, I don't have the ability to help you with college, and so you're going to have to do it on your own. We're going to help you where we can, but I just don't have the means to pay for it. She doesn't remember that conversation, but I know that she took it to heart because she worked very, very hard to get all of the financial aid and the scholarships and every way she could. And she got through 4 years of school with very little debt. I wouldn't give the number, but that wouldn't be fair, but she did a very good job of minimizing the amount of debt. So she can definitely be, she's been in those trenches, and she did a very good job coming out on the other side. And so I think that she's become a really good resource to help the kids navigate that process, because that, frankly, that's why I didn't go to college right out of high school. I was in all the academic classes, and I was doing all the right stuff. I didn't know how it was going to be paid for. My parents didn't really talk to me about college, and I didn't approach them. And so I just kind of, I went to junior college for a while, and it was kind of like being back in high school, and that wasn't fun. And so it took me a long time to find my way, but I wish I'd had a resource like the College and Career Center and the College Dreams program. That would have been really, really useful.
Yeah, the College and Career Center, over time it's evolving, but at this point in time I don't pass that room without seeing students in there. And I know that almost sounds in contrast with what I was saying about disruptions to the learning environment. Students trying to get out of classes, a disruption to themselves.
Well, there is coffee in there, I hear. So
there is some coffee. But we've set it up that the students used to like to hang out in the commons if they had no class or they were a TA or something. And I've kind of been the bad guy and said, I don't really want you in the commons anymore. But there's the College and Career Center. And so I'm just gently nudging them in a principal sort of way to go into there. And so now they can have conversations. And it's with those conversations and that connection of a person that they can start germinating some ideas and plans and start saying, wow, I can get a scholarship. That's great. And so I'm really enjoying the way the College and Career Center is growing and supporting more students on a day-to-day basis, especially the ones that have a free period, which are just seniors. And so they're not just hanging out in the commons with each other. They're going in and getting support to help them with their next step.
Yeah. And Ms. Smith just said, just don't sit at my desk, please. So you mentioned kind of we shifted from the negative to the positive. I hate to do it, but let's kind of shift back to the negative. And it's not a negative, but it's more back to the disciplinary side. We mentioned the Resolve program. Mm-hmm. Let's go a little deeper into what that is. And we don't have a ton more time, but I think it's an important program. And maybe, Jamie, you could kind of take this.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that is a guaranteed in this life is that you're going to face conflict. We are human. You're going to screw up and hurt somebody's feelings or hurt somebody, whether it was on purpose or not. And I think Resolve does a great job of presenting frameworks to which you navigate conflict and resolve it, hence the name, in a healthy and productive way for future interactions. So one of the things, and we're in this kind of cheesy little harmonica, and at the elementary school,
multi-talented.
Yeah. Well, every teacher at the elementary school is wearing what we're calling the Pax harmonica to do Pax quiet. And there's these systems in place to make our school peaceful, where conflict is something that we navigate together. Because in elementary school, whether it's over a bouncy ball or the four square thing, there's stuff that happens. And I think sometimes as adults, we're like, you get over it, But the reality is that those conflict resolution skills start when they're tiny. And then as the issues become more complex, as they grow up and get older and face social media and all the intense things that come with adolescence, you can still apply some of those same concepts and conflict resolution that you learned when you were in first grade when you get to 12th grade. So with the grant that I got from All Care, we're going to start to do the work that has been going on at the high school and the junior high for a while, so that the 7th and 8th grade can have a more peaceful place to be when they're entering into Chris's school.
Yeah, and I, the couple things you mentioned there that kind of resonate with me. First of all, the seventh and eighth grade, because my opinion has always been that the middle school age is when the kids are really their most vulnerable. They're intimidated moving toward high school. They're at an awkward stage of their lives with puberty, and the girls are a foot taller and all of that kind of stuff. So it's really a time where it's probably the most difficult, but the most important to keep them pointed in the right direction.
And I don't want to, this is my perspective, because now that I'm down at the elementary school, a lot of elementary school parents are asking me about that because I've been up there. And the one thing that I say about it is that the standard U.S. system is to take those kids in that most awkward and vulnerable stage and put them on islands together in these middle schools. And so they sit there and they spin around watching this crazy abnormal behavior because their brains are also at their most vulnerable state since they were 0 to 2 years old. And they're watching that crazy behavior and they're interacting in that crazy behavior. What Chris has working for him is that in seventh and eighth grade, they have these amazing role models in the 11th and 12th grade with the, especially with the mentoring program that Hillary has been working on and Sam have been working on. And that in itself creates a growth situation where it doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah. And the other thing that you said, and I kind of learned this over time as a parent and as a coach, you know, you mentioned that sometimes as the adults we say, we'll get over it. And something I've learned, everybody's different in that what is a crisis to me might not be a crisis to you, and vice versa. And so with kids, something that as an adult we go, oh, you know, just get over it. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. In their world, it's the biggest thing. And when we recognize that, it's a lot easier, I think, to give them the guidance that they need. So I was kind of relieved, I guess, to hear you mention that, because I think that is a big part of dealing with these kids, is that we understand that our world and their worlds are not the same. Mm-hmm. And so we have to approach it from, you know, trying to see into their world. And we can all remember being kids. It wasn't always the easiest thing, but
yeah. One of the great things about working with Resolve is they are coming to support us a little bit in 2 days a week with a specialist that comes in and is helping us with our framework. And so what a traditional discipline model might look like for, say, fighting, which is one of the things that we bump into a little bit more often than other disciplinary issues, is it would be great to just suspend those kids for 5, 6, 7 days, just because then we can weather the storm of what that fight caused. And that doesn't really solve any problems in it. And it probably is more negative than anything else for the students involved in the fights. And so they have helped us learn how to not just treat it as a consequence for fighting, but how can we help the students learn from the situation? And we recently had a situation where some students got really frustrated, and one of them, you know, it wasn't in a classroom, but they threw a chair. And then once they cooled down about 30 minutes later, they asked me, am I getting in trouble for this? Or are you going to write me a referral? Am I getting suspended? And I said, no, you've just shown me that we need to teach you new skills instead of throwing a chair. We need to help you learn how to manage your frustration and anger over situations in a much more productive way. And after that, he'd cooled down, he was able to really recognize that. And so it's helping us help them learn from the various situations. So Resolve has helped all of our staff somewhat shift their mindset and framework and lens by which they look at situations of conflict. So that has been a huge benefit for us.
Yeah, that sounds great. And that's the kind of program I think that can really kind of help keep all those, you know, all, what are they, the ties that bind, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It keeps them all kind of together, keeps that mesh, you know, together, because when it starts to separate, that's when things start to fall apart.
Well, and I know you've attended Rogue River graduations, and there isn't anything more special than that. I mean, honestly, I think that I've never been to a graduation that's more built around family and community and just caring for each other. I mean, these classes go through like families. And if we can do that from K to 12, the power that can happen with that when they're walking out of this place is they're more, family's going to fight. That's just what it happens. But families get even stronger when they fight and then they figure it out. And I think that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's great. And we're going to run out of time. I wish I had more time today. But Chris, Jamie, I hope you'll come back. We can maybe later in the school year, we'll come back, get an update on some of these things that are going on.
Well, I forgot, we're two of the three principals.
Oh, there is
South Valley Academy.
Oh, that's right.
Our alternative school.
Well, let's hit that really quickly. Tell me about that, because I talked about it earlier. Oh, this has been months ago, and didn't really know what it was going to look like. So what is the South Valley Academy?
It's not an alternative school. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to say that. So what the South Valley Academy is, it's just a different fit for kids who don't want to be in a bricks and mortar school, but are still dedicated and devoted to academics. So it's not just a holding tank for the kids that aren't really making it in our schools. It's a caring environment. It's growing. It's larger than we expected it to be at this time, which is great. Word of mouth is getting out. But it's there to really support students who maybe have been homeschooled in the past or done an online type school, and it's just not giving them the rigor and the support that they need. And so here is South Valley Academy to provide a really strong academic program with support, with some caring teachers that are always available. And it really works for different type of kids that have difficult schedules. So sometimes, you know, some of our older students, they really need to work to help their family thrive. And so they're working during the day. So maybe this is a really good fit for them. So I'm obviously not the proper person to talk about this. Morgan would be, but
well, and let's make that happen. Let's get maybe one of you and our third principal that I didn't mention. Let's get them on my schedule and let's do a show just talking about that, because it's a new thing, and I think a lot of people don't know about it, and I would love to provide an extra resource where people can kind of learn the basics of what that's going to look like. But we just don't have time to get too deep into it today. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up though, because I had forgotten about that we have another school, and it's new for me. It's new for you all too. But well, I want to thank you both for coming in today. And again, we will definitely have you back, get an update as the year goes on, and we can even touch on some of the other things. Of course, you know, when you come in and talk to me, you'll end up on sports at some point. So we can even talk about that. But thanks again for coming in, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
And
we will take a break here and be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I want to thank Chris and Jamie once again for coming in and talking about all the great things happening in our Rogue River schools right now. And so before we get to Hunter, we're going to bring Hunter on, and he's going to fill the spot that the Rogue Talk mascot has filled in years past, at least for today's show, and we're going to pick some football games. But before we get to that, a couple of events I wanted to get to. First of all, there's a lot of new things been going on with the Chamber of Commerce. The new president of the Chamber, Lori Stone, has brought in some great ideas. And one of those is the first ever State of the City event. And that will be taking place Next Friday morning from 7 to 8:30 a.m., that will be at the Live Oak Grange right here in town. And there will be a continental breakfast served. And the keynote speaker will be Mayor Pam Van Arsdale. So the first State of the City event, again, next Friday, 7 to 8:30 at the Live Oak Grange. So I hope you can make it out for that. Not sure, don't think I'm going to be able to attend that. I'm usually on the radio on Friday mornings, but we'll see how that goes. But should be a great event, and I usually try and get to most of these chamber events when I can, but won't be able to attend that, I don't think, at this point. But I hope you can make it out. It should be a good learning experience, good way to learn what's going on here in the city of Rogue River. Another event I wanted to promote, a friend of the show, Danielle Craig, in partnership with the Mail Tribune, is promoting the National Marrow Donor Program with a Be the Match drive. And basically what that is you can go and get tested get put into the marrow donor program. They swab your cheek and they can get the information they need off of that swab and see if you're a match for someone who's needing a marrow transplant. That event will be Tuesday, September 18th. So this coming Tuesday, it'll be at the Mail Tribune office, 111 North Fir Street in Medford. And that will be... that is focused on those of you that are between the ages of 18 and 44. They can take older people, but there's a charge for that, because as you get older, it's less of a chance that you would be a match for the people that they're needing this for. So I would say this is focused on 18 to 44. But again, that will be on Tuesday the 18th. Check local listings. I thought I had the time written down. I can't find it here. So, but that'll be going on, I believe, most of the day. So you may want to look into that, get on that registry. And so while we still have a few minutes, I want to bring back to the microphone my intern, Hunter Arnsdorf. Hunter, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here again. Of course, we've been working together. You just haven't been on mic as much lately, but we headed to the football game last week in Culver. Did you have a good time at the football game?
Yeah, I had a good time, Jeff.
Yeah, and you did an excellent job keeping stats for us. We're gonna do that again tomorrow. The football game again will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. The broadcast will start at around 6:50. Kickoff is 7 o'clock, and... that will be the Brookings Harbor Bruins will be coming to town at Chieftain Stadium, and the Chieftains will be looking for their third win on the season. So let's take a look at these games we've picked out here. We're going to do the NFL this time. Hunter's probably bigger NFL fan than he is a college fan, and of course with the Rogue Talk mascot, we usually pick college games, but we're going to do some NFL games today. So the first game we're looking at, Hunter, the Vikings at the Packers. The Vikings are 1-0. They beat the Niners last week, and the Packers are also 1-0, and they came from behind to beat the Bears. They looked like Rodgers was out for the game. He came back and played great, and they won that game. The Packers are favored by only 1 point, so it's basically a pick 'em game. Who do you think's going to win, Vikings and Packers?
I believe the Packers will win.
So Hunter is going to pick the Packers. Why do you think the Packers will win?
I just believe that Aaron Rodgers has played the Vikings enough in his career that he knows how to avoid the defense and avoid defense so he doesn't get hurt and find his receivers.
All right. Well, looks like Mike in the truck is also picking the Packers, and you know what? I'm going to make it a unanimous decision. I'm going to go with the Packers as well. I just think after Aaron Rodgers' performance this last week, it's hard to think of something he can't do. I mean, he just every time they need him to step up, he does. So we're all picking the Packers in that one. So let's move to the Giants at the Cowboys. Cowboys are a 3-point favorite. Giants and Cowboys both are 0-1. They both lost last week. Giants lost to the Jaguars. And the Cowboys lost to another cat, the Panthers. So who do you think, Giants or Cowboys?
I picked the Cowboys to win.
So Hunter's going to pick the Cowboys. He's going to give the 3 points there, picking the Cowboys. And we got Pastor Gigline chiming in. We're not picking the Bronco-Raider game because my Raiders only played one half this last week. But we're not picking that game because Pastor Gigline is a Bronco fan, and I already know who he's picking. But anyhow, so Hunter, you're picking the Cowboys. Looks like Mike in the truck also picking the Cowboys. I'm going to go with the Giants. Their quarterback sucks, but they have a really good team. So if he can get his act together for, you know, for 60 minutes. So I'm going to go with the Giants, and we're almost out of time. Lions and Niners. Who do you got, Hunter?
I got the Niners.
Yeah, of course you do. I'm going to go with the Lions just to be different, and that's all the time we've got. Everybody, be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.